You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? This is FST Fantasy Sports Today, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Farson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, Matty Mo?
My only question is, why isn't the national anthem playing after the U.S. women? And I really wanted to stay up and watch that game, but I was up the night before watching Olympics till really late.
Yeah.
I took the quill, and after the first period, I was long gone.
In all complete honesty, like, we had the Olympics on, and then I was watching a lot of CNN last night, and then I was just like, I need to go to bed. I my mind was like in one place. I just got to go to bed, and that was it. And that was it for me.
That goal on the shootout, that was amazing. I mean, and this is one of, like, the best rivalries, women's, in any sport, women's U.S. and Canada. You know, what was it, 4 years ago, sure. The gold medal game, too. They've gone back and forth. And, you know, I think, you know, if you got a chance to watch, even the games prior, it was really great. Another thing in the biathlon?
The cross country?
Cross country, excuse me. That call was fantastic as well.
Wasn't that awesome?
That guy was like, he was like Gus Johnson doing the cross country. And how that woman came up, the U.S. woman came up and took that was, you know, pretty fair. And that's what I like about the Olympics. That's why I watch it. These are sports I'm not going to watch.
Never. Not until 4 years from now.
Over the next 4 years.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's fun to see it. It's, you know, open up your mind a little. Look, you know, watch something. And you're watching, you know, the top athletes at this sport.
Right. You're watching the very best athletes in the world at this sport. And as Corey was saying yesterday, the U.S. isn't winning all that much this Olympics. But, man, when they did yesterday and today with curling as well, like, I love being Canada.
That's the one.
I love being Canada. I really do.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, in hockey, I think it's great because they have that rivalry. I mean, otherwise, you know, I'm a fan of the people up north. I've always been.
Well, yeah, of course, but, like, it's still a rivalry.
Yeah, no, in hockey, I do get it. In hockey, I love, because that's where, every time I've been to Canada, like, I loved going to Canada, and I'd see on the front page of the sports, hockey was always dominant. I mean, hockey, to me, has always been the funnest sport I've ever played.
Sure.
I mean, as much as I love baseball and all the stats and all that, the only thing I miss in life is not playing hockey anymore.
Right. And you saw last night the women taking down Canada, winning the gold medal for the first time since 1998, which is the last time Canada did not win the gold medal in women's hockey. We spoke to a women's hockey player from that 1998 team. You can check that out on our YouTube page, Fantasy Sports Network. You can also make sure you check out the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package, which is available right now and includes Jake Seeley's rankings for the year.
When is the women's long program in figure skating?
Tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Tonight's, I believe, the last night before the closing ceremonies.
Sunday night.
Sunday, okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have the women's long program is tonight. I want to make sure I have the right channel on this time.
Yeah, no, I'm going to definitely have to do some DVR.
Make sure you get the right DVR this time.
I did the same thing. They had the men's hockey, the women's training. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
All right, we take a break here. We come back. We'll give you your headlines from a busy Wednesday here on FST.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Well, this is
good morning, Corey.
Good morning. How you doing, Gregory?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, sir. What we got played in the background? This is like the national anthem or something?
Is this American Beautiful? Ray Charles?
Oh, yeah, it's Ray. It's Ray, America the Beautiful. What's something happened in the Olympics last night? Why are we playing this?
We beat Canadians in hockey, women's hockey.
Oh, in women's hockey. All right, good for us.
A fantastic finish, nonetheless, too.
Nice.
Shootout. We won in.
Good job.
It is, in fact, a good job, yes. So, big story for us, becoming the gold medal winners in women's hockey, which, you know, absolutely fantastic. By the way, coming up in just about 10 minutes from now, Dr. Ray will join the program, and I look forward to doing that. Now, yesterday afternoon when we were doing BFFs, Matt, Carlos Gomez signs with the Tampa Bay Rays. And does it put a little bit of a damper on my man, Malik Smith?
I can't see it really doing that. I think Malik Smith is going to get the opportunity. Malik Smith.
He better!
I think the only way Malik Smith doesn't get the at-bats is if Malik Smith can't hit and can't get on first base. Why is this team that's pretty much selling off every piece? And as I've stated well before, Archer's going to get traded. Kiermaier, Archer's their Christian Yelich.
Right.
Where they can get the most.
Right.
Kevin Kiermaier should also be somebody that they can get a nice return on, being that he's one of the, you know, if not the one of the best defenders in center field. Has a reasonable contract. So I don't care what the GM says. At some point, they're doing this. It's going to happen. So Malik Smith, to me, is going to be given every opportunity. The only way Malik Smith doesn't succeed is if he can't succeed.
Sure, fair enough.
The Gomez thing is a little puzzling for the fact. I guess if you look at it, that he could play the field and Corey Dickerson can't. That's the difference there. But Dickerson was going to get $6 million, I think, by DFAing him. They only have to pay him one.
Yep, that's what he's told
me. So you
yep.
save $5 million. Mm-hmm. They give Carlos Gonzalez, what, like $4
million? Something like that.
So you save, and it's $1 million.
Save $1 million.
But if you look at it in the overall that he can play the field, Dickerson really can't.
That's true.
I guess that's the difference.
But it is really interesting, Corey, because you saved... Now, $1 million, you cut Corey Dickerson, dude that had a lot of home runs for you last year, started at the DH position in the All-Star game for Carlos Gomez?
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like it's much right there.
No.
So, they got to do a better job in their front office.
You know, Dick Vitale is very annoyed about this.
Dickie V is their number one fan, you feel what I'm saying?
He is.
So, he's at all the games and stuff like that. He doesn't want to see his team tanking, but I tell you, it could end up better for the long haul.
How so?
Because the new players that you're bringing in, right? They don't have no high expectations. They can go out there and play loose and free, so they're playing with house money. When people play with house money, they tend to relax and play well.
Do you feel the same way with the Marlins too?
Same thing, same MO. Both teams have better records than the Mets.
Mets over under 81 games this year.
Under.
Could I have said 60 games? You would have said under.
Under.
Yeah. Just want to make that clear.
41.
Just for the record, I don't think fantasy execs that far off. I know Scott right now is like, they're going to win 85.
Yeah, Scott's like easily over. Why wouldn't they? I'm going to go to the clubhouse and talk them and give them a good talking to.
Speaking of the Mets, multiple times Mickey Callaway has compared Ahmed Rosario to Francisco Lindor.
I really like Rosario this year. I've been waiting on him, and I'm able to get him. Look, I love when a player that has pedigree comes up.
Yep.
And even if they don't light it up, I mean, Gene Segura was a guy a few years ago.
Sure.
When he got some playing time, he didn't do anything spectacular. I was on him the next year. You got him late.
Yep.
He had that great first half, whatever. Second half, he did nothing.
Yep.
Even a guy like Trout. Trout came up that September, batted like 200 or less. Didn't do anything spectacular, but I drafted him in every league in like the 13th round because this was the guy they said was going to be, you know, he's the next great player. Why not take a shot on that at some point if the price point is correct? And Rosario's going to play. He's got speed. I don't know about the pop, but everybody, if you look, the one thing I would tell people, look at baseball. And when Elvis Andrews can hit over 20 home runs in a season, that tells you that pretty much everybody's hitting home runs. So, I mean, can Rosario hit 10? Possibly. But even if he doesn't, say he hits 7 or 8, I think he can steal over 20 bases.
Okay.
I think he can put up a decent enough average.
Yep.
And in a 15 team, if you're getting him in the 15th round, that means in a 12-team league, you're getting, what, the 18th, 19th
right.
round?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guy that should play every day. I mean, this is the Mets, like, you know, after Conforto came up, this is their crown jewel player.
Absolutely. I mean, so, this is a guy they won't seemingly trade for anybody. They believe in Amed Rosario. And listen, Francisco Lindor, it's a lofty expectation. I get that. But you got to remember, despite Rosario coming up and not doing very much last year, the dude's 22 years old. 22 years old. Extremely, extremely young. Got his first taste of the majors last year. As Matt said, Mike Trout had his first taste of the majors, and he did nothing. Nobody's calling him at Rosario Mike Trout because you don't need to do that. But everything last year almost smelled like first taste of the big leagues. He struck out 29% of the time. He didn't come anywhere close to that most of his time in the minors. He hit 4 home runs. A career high in the minors was 7. Very well could see him get up to 10, as Matt said. He stole 7 bases in just 46 games last year. You're looking for 20. That's extremely, extremely reasonable. I don't think it's hard to suggest this is a 10-20 guy, somebody that you could stick in your middle infield. He's not costing you all very much. And Corey, it is a former top prospect.
Yeah, so you know that he has the pedigree because he has that former top prospect. It's just going to take a little time for him to get going and warmed up. So where's his ADP again?
It's a good question. So his ADP over the last 2 weeks in the or last 2 days, I should say, in the NFBC is 238.
Yeah, you're not paying nothing for him.
No, 238. The players that are around him, Dexter Fowler, Michael Brantley, yeah. Lance Lynn, Willie Calhoun, Frankie Stanfield's favorite.
I'm about to say, who the hell is Willie Calhoun?
Thanks for watching.
Willie Calhoun's another guy.
Sound like a old wrestler. Willie Calhoun.
That's Haystacks Calhoun.
Remember him?
Beauregard.
I don't remember.
I don't think you were alive for Haystacks.
No, I wasn't
Calhoun.
Alive for Haystacks.
No. But yeah, so he's not really costing you anything. There's actually a bunch of these guys in this area that I kind of like. And Amed Rosario is one of them. Nobody's talking about him, and he was literally just a top prospect 365 days ago. Everybody was getting in on Amed Rosario.
Yep. So I can't say enough about Amed Rosario.
You can't say enough about Amed Rosario.
I'll say this because you brought the player up, Francisco Lindor. I do not have any shares. It's just because of where I've drafted in the middle of the first round, or I've gone with Carlos Carrasco. He's a guy I would definitely like to get some shares. I mean, I don't know if he's hitting 30 homers again, but I think he can hit circa 20-ish, you know, maybe 25. I'm never going to predict guys to do what they did at their all-time high.
Sure.
I think that's just... Well, maybe he does, but I'm not going to predict that. But I think the batting average can be better than what it was last year. I think he could steal 20 bases. He could steal 30, but I'm going to say, you know, if he's 290, 20-ish in those ranges, that's a hell of a player there. He looks pretty jacked. Looks like Cisco. As we were
get rid of the Fran and just go with Cisco Lindor. That's all you got to do. I think Francisco Lindor certainly in that mix as a early second round pick right now. Somebody that you have to love because he's proven it now. He's proven it. That left side of that infield, if you have Jose Ramirez at third and Lindor at second, at shortstop rather, pretty damn good for the Indians.
Yeah, no, the Indians have a hell of a team. I mean, they could have really used J.D. Martinez. If I were them, I know it's a little different financially, but I think that's a team that should have tried offering that, you know, couple years up front kind of money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would have been a hell of a move.
Well, they had to do the Encarnacion last year, right?
Yeah, they got Encarnacion, but Encarnacion wasn't like one of these exuberant. I forget what he got, but I don't think he got like...
He got a good amount. I'll go to our favorite website and let you know, but he got a good amount, and I believe that was the kind of deal they gave him last year, basically to replace Mike Napoli.
Yeah, well, that was definitely an upgrade.
I'd say so. Encarnacion signed a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, $20 million a year, I get it. But they're only going to hook for another two with that. I'm just saying, I think they're obviously one of the best teams with that pitching staff that they have. And, you know, hopefully for me, Danny Salazar is just a couple of weeks behind.
We're going to ask Dr. A about Danny Salazar coming up in a moment.
But, I mean, the depth of that staff, that's why I didn't believe about these rumors you were hearing, Salazar for Domingo Santana. Domingo Santana. You know, you don't have enough pitching. And that's why I still believe the Dodgers are going to go out and get Archer. Because after Kershaw, they need that proven workhorse.
They really do. And I saw your boy Alex Williamson pitch just out of the stretch all year long.
That really encourages me. I mean, a guy I loved last year that I've been off of this year. But that's encouraging. He's a guy that I'm waiting to see in spring. He's one guy I do want to watch. I want to see where the velocity is. I think that's important because the velo did drop significantly.
It sure did. It's interesting. The Dodgers may predict to be the best team in the National League, and outside of Clayton Kershaw, you don't really feel comfortable with any of these pitchers, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do what they did last year, where it's constantly manipulating the CL.
It's too much.
Brock Stewart's a name to know.
Brock Stewart. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Dr. Ray from Inside Injuries. The Doc is up next on FSD.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
With you here on FSD Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're thinking of giving DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor. It's a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. With that, we bring in the good doctor down in the A. It's Dr. A. from Inside Injuries. What's going on, Doc?
Good morning, guys. Corey, you seem to gain some weight since the last time I saw you.
Oh! Remember I was Jeff last week.
Yeah.
No, he's not trying to come for me.
No, but you did say the other day he was coming for you.
No, I got it. How you doing? Good morning, Doc. How's everything going?
Everything is good. It's a nice, sunny, 78-degree day in Atlanta. I heard you guys are experiencing a warm front in New York. So
I had a
good
little one. There was one yesterday. It was a one-day warm front, Doc. Now this morning it's raining and it's back to kind of regular. It's real nice out there. You can't even see the buildings behind you. I haven't received my Inside Injury scrubs yet.
I noticed you did request those.
I have not received them yet. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you guys will get some at some point in the future. We shall see.
Maybe that lady in your building's wearing them.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was a crazy story. You know what? I got an update for that. I got an update for you later on in the show in regards to that. But, Doc, while we have you, I want to start off. We were talking a lot yesterday on some of our other shows about the Mets pitchers, and in particular Noah Syndergaard, because he has the ability to quite honestly, finish as the best pitcher in baseball. Like, he has that kind of stuff. But people are hesitant to draft him this year because of missing all of last year with a severe lat injury, and he comes back, and he gained a bunch of weight last year. He immediately had bicep tendonitis. Then he tore his lat, and he shouldn't have pitched, and then he pitched, and then he got hurt. It was like the most Mets story ever. Now, we come into this year. What's the deal with Noah Syndergaard? Did he lose some of this weight? Is he back to where he is? What's going on with Syndergaard?
So first of all, from a medical standpoint, the good news is that he didn't have surgery last year. The injury was in May. I know he came back, and I remember specifically at that time we talked about him, and our algorithm said he should not be playing. He should not be pitching. He needs more time to be shut down. And obviously then he developed another injury, created a bone spur in his elbow, and 17 was the biceps and the right lateral muscle tear. So the good news is that he's way past optimal recovery time, meaning in terms of his ability to heal. So his HPF is very close to getting to peak health before the beginning of the season. But you hit the nail on the head. For some reason, his injury risk is way out of whack. I mean, at this time of the season, right before opening day, you expect to see close to low, maybe a little bit elevated to 13-14%. I mean, this guy is at 26%. So he's like the quintessential high-risk, high-reward guy. He's going to be healthy from that injury, but his risk factor is so high that, you know, you guys, whoever are Syndergaard owners, they must have another starting pitcher that, because you have to expect him to, you know, at least miss a good portion of the season due to injury this year.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've had the trepidation of not, I just can't do it right now. I'm going to take DeGrom over him.
Well, that was a discussion that we had yesterday. Yeah, do you take DeGrom over him?
I took Strasburg over him. I think they're pretty much on par. But Strasburg at least pitched 175 innings.
Right.
Strasburg might, you know.
He's 10% over the normal starting pitcher with these types of injuries than others. So it's, you know, we're literally telling everybody that we expect him to miss a good portion of the season.
All right, there you go.
Crazy.
Right,
no, Syndergaard, man. They're telling you they expect him to miss a big portion of the season.
They've been right so far. Doc, what's the deal with Kawhi Leonard? Hand reports out of San Antonio.
This story is crazy with Kawhi Leonard.
It really is, Doc.
Yep.
Don't know what's going on here. Now we're hearing reports that he could very well miss the entire season. It doesn't seem like this should be an entire season thing, Doc.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest issues is that he's exacerbated and kind of set himself back through rehab. It's never quite fully healed. You know, again, you cannot work out or get intense on a muscle if it's not fully healed, especially in basketball and especially the quad, because that's mainly what's responsible for your explosiveness on the basketball court. Now, this is a very textbook sort of quintessential, again, case between team and player. I mean, they're not on the same page. The team docs and the team are saying one thing, while the Kawhi's doctors and evaluation, you know, they're saying another thing. Honestly, if we had to come down on a side, we would say that we would side with Kawhi because, you know, he is all of our algorithms are saying that, you know, he's nowhere near ready to start playing basketball again because of multiple setbacks. This quad, this grade three quad, and then, you know, he had a partial tear in his left shoulder last month, probably because of some compensatory injury. So we would have to side with Kawhi here. Our algorithms just show that he's not ready yet. He's not at peak health, and he has a very high injury risk still.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Kawhi Leonard coming up later on in the show because I figured you have some thoughts about it, Corey, and I do too. It's very strange what's going on in San Antonio. We're not quite used to this, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate, but I'll look forward to that conversation. Doc, I want to go back to the diamond. I want to talk about one of the burgeoning superstars and the young guy who was injured late last year, a guy I really like. You're getting a little bit of a discount. He was a second rounder last year. You're getting him in third. He was even available in the fourth of my latest. But Corey Seager, I keep hearing he still hasn't really tested out the arm. He's had the elbow problem. He had a back injury. What can you tell us about him?
So at Inside Injuries, we've had a manual discussion about Corey Seager. there's something missing here, guys. The team is not telling us something. Just mark my words here. You know, we originally had him at a grade one elbow. He should not be an issue of conversation of whether they should hold him off from full intensity throwing so much time later after that original injury. So, you know, he must have had a much more serious injury when he did have that injury. Because of those comments, his injury risk has shot up now from what it was close to low. Now it's at high injury risk because we feel that the original injury was much more severe. And just to give you guys a list of the other 2017 injuries besides elbow, he had a grade one back, a grade one hamstring, and a grade one oblique all in one season. So he's got all of these ticky-tack type of injuries, which may or may not be true. I mean, sometimes teams are very good at masking and disguising, even for our algorithms, even though we get to them almost eventually at some point. So, you know, we feel that he's now sort of pushed into a below average high injury risk category because that original elbow injury was a lot more severe than they let on.
We're talking to Dr. Ray from Inside Injuries, and there you go. So, Matt.
Yeah, that's a shame, though. This is a really good
young player.
Pretty much a solid 300 hitter, could hit 30 home runs, you know, and he's a big dude, too. He's like 6'4", 220.
Yeah. I'll continue to be the Mets guy here. We talked about Noah Syndergaard, who, you know, you project to miss quite a bit of the season. What about their other top hitting prospect here? Not prospect, but top hitter in Michael Conforto, who is having one heck of a season last year and then has this freak injury and just completely tears himself apart. We've heard May 1st. We've heard May 15th. What's the deal with Michael Conforto?
Yeah, and you know, nothing has changed from last week when we talked. And, you know, the dislocated shoulder injured a lot more than just, you know, the rotator cuff. It looks like, you know, obviously the torn posterior capsule, significant labral injury, you know, thumb, hand, back, hamstring injuries in 17 as well. You know, he is, they said maybe May. We are projecting that he comes possibly back before the All-Star break. So he's still nowhere near ready to come back, and he still has to go through that rehab. And you don't, again, you remember I talked, you don't want an Andrew Luck situation with these labral injuries, pretty significant one. They have to make sure they take him sensitively, very slow in his recovery. Then he'll be at after the All-Star break. So we're projecting right around the All-Star break.
I think Doc's right on that. I mean, yeah, you want to have injury optimism, you're looking May 1st. I would say June 1st at the earliest.
Yeah.
Now, Doc, can I ask you one question? Like, when you saw that injury that Conforto got, when you got to see the replay of it, what is, like, your initial reaction? Do you have, like, a thing that, like, pops out to you or anything?
Well, when I saw it, we really didn't know originally right away if it was a dislocation. When I heard it was a dislocation, I said, oh, okay. Like, hopefully he's one of the 80% of the people that dislocates their shoulder and doesn't have any other injuries.
Right.
And then when I heard that he had all these other injuries, then that's where all of the negativity comes from, that, basically. Mm-hmm. But most people, when they dislocate their shoulder, pops back in, there's really no other injury. And then that, if that just happened to him, he probably would have been playing a portion of last season. But unfortunately, he had all of these other injuries associated. And when you do it to yourself, when you dislocate the shoulder by swinging as opposed to getting hit, that means it is likely has a torque effect on it and pulls a lot of other stuff with it. And that's what happened. He had so many more injuries associated with the dislocation.
Yeah, when I watched that, I felt like my shoulder hurt.
I did want to ask you, Corey's rotator cuff was bothering him yesterday. And I wanted to ask you, Doc, if Corey's going to be okay.
Well, the more important question is, what was Corey doing?
Corey, your response.
I'm sorry, Corey.
No, it's fine, Doc. I was resting, and I woke up with some discomfort in my shoulder once again.
You went reaching for that bottle a little too far.
Speaking of shoulders,
it was a tennis injury.
Yeah, tennis injury.
Doc, do you have a couple more minutes to hang out with us? Because we talked about shoulder injuries. I want to talk about Hanley Ramirez, and I think it's important in this Red Sox lineup. I also want to talk about Matt Carpenter's back, because
Danny Salazar.
I like Matt Carpenter, and Mr. Danny Salazar sits to my left in Matt Modica. So there's a lot more that we want to get to when it comes to these injuries. So do you have a couple minutes to hang out with us?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. All right, so let's take a break here. We'll pause. We have more Dr. A coming in a few moments after the break, including hearing about, as I mentioned, Hanley Ramirez, Matt Carpenter, Danny Salazar, and we're going to find out if it's not just talent that Arizona doesn't like, Matt, about Yasmani Tomas. Maybe there's an injury there, too.
Could very well be. I mean, look, he should be in the American League. Yes. The DH was created for you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So we'll talk about those guys, and including some young guys potentially, too, with Dr. A. Dr. A of Inside Injuries continues on here with us on FST. We'll be back on FNTSY right after this.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Corey, according to my Twitter, today is officially National Margarita Day.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. I'm not a margarita guy, so I will not be partaking in that today. Sorry about that.
You're a margarita?
I like frozen margarita.
Oh, I love a nice frozen margarita.
Frozen margarita is good.
Doc,
my wife likes a regular margarita.
I'll drink anything.
I don't drink anything.
Doc, are you a margarita guy?
I am not a margarita guy. I'm a tequila guy.
Okay.
A fine tequila guy.
Fine tequila guy on the rocks.
Yeah.
Corey is withholding something from speaking.
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm Doc's a tequila guy. You know me. I'm non-alcoholic.
Yeah, you just give you a beer.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. All right, talking to Dr. A, Inside Injuries, who hangs out with us today, FSC Fantasy Sports Today. And I want to get into Matt Carpenter, a guy that I see just last and last and last on draft boards. And I get it. He's getting a little older. He's got some back stiffness and tightness in there. But this is a guy that certainly just knows how to get on base. Hitting on top of a Cardinals lineup, whether he plays first base, second base, third base, plays everywhere for the Cardinals. And maybe it was a down year overall, but the batted ball profile makes it seem like he's going to be really good this year, and he's costing you nothing in drafts. Is Matt Carpenter healthy, and should he be drafted, Dr. A?
Yeah, so, I mean, the back injury is just a grade one, so nothing significant. I'm sorry, not the back. Yeah, he had a grade one back, and then in the 17 season, he had a right shoulder injury, just a little bit of inflammation, no rotator cuff tear or any ligament tear. So this optimal recovery time for this type of injury for a first baseman is 2 weeks. And so after those 2 weeks, without any setbacks, you know, he should be back and very close to peak health to start the season. You know, so from an injury and a medical standpoint, he should be really good to go before the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I just think if this guy is healthy, there is a 30-plus home run season in his bat.
I agree, and the on-base percentage is amazing. Like, you look at the batted ball profile, Matt Carpenter over the last couple of days.
Yeah, him and Kyle Seager. They hit 100%. Like tons of fly balls, hit the ball hard.
170 is his price right now in the NFBC.
And I'll say one more thing. He's a first baseman, so yeah. First basemen don't really move very much, you know, on the field. So, you know, like if he was a third baseman or a shortstop or something like that, or outfielder, that back would be, you know, a lot more, you know, sort of impactful. But because he's a first baseman, 2 weeks, he should be good to go, ready for the season. So, yeah, he could be a sleeper for somebody.
Matt Carpenter is one of those guys that you wake up the next morning, it's 2 for 5, right?
Yeah, look, the only time he went where he shouldn't have went was in the mixed labor draft. That was a little crazy, but otherwise.
Absolutely. Why don't you ask about your boy?
No, go ahead. Y'all got it. No, apparently me and Doc Day not supposed to be speaking to each other today. So y'all go ahead. Y'all got it. I'm sorry.
Well, I want Matt to be asked about his player.
No, I agree. Matt should ask about his player. Should I go?
No, please stay. Right. You're going to probably go too early in like 3 hours.
I didn't know Jake Sealy joined the show early. Hey, Doc, Danny Salazar, he's a guy that is one of the upside arms I've been targeting. You know, over the last 3 months, I've been drafting. I understand the risk, but I'm looking at what the reward could be. They recently said last month he had some shoulder stiffness or whatever. Please, give me some positive news.
Positive news is that he didn't tear the rotator cuff. Grade one rotator cuff inflammation. If he rests and goes through this therapy, that should be completely healed. The problem is, like you said, he's a high risk, high reward guy. Grade one elbow and shoulder injuries in 17. He did make 19 starts and 4 relief appearances in 17, but he's chronically nagged by these type of throwing arm injuries. And so when you have multiple injuries on the throwing arm, you know, he's going to be at elevated to high injury risk. But from his shoulder injury, he should be at peak health starting the season. So he's a classic high risk, high reward guy.
Salazar, that's pretty much
the best news I could have expected.
I agree. That was actually good news from Dr. Wright. But it's like also, that's kind of what the story of his career is, right? Ultimate high reward, high risk guy. That's Danny Salazar, Corey.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Dr. A?
Did we ask about Hanley Ramirez yet?
No.
Dr. A.
He's paying attention.
Well, you guys shunned me from the interview. Now that I am been invited back, I will take my time to ask Dr. A about Hanley Ramirez, because I don't feel like Hanley Ramirez should be washed up yet, but apparently he is.
Yes, left shoulder arthroscopy. The good news is that it's an arthroscopy and debridement, because he's probably developed early osteoarthritis or arthritis in that shoulder, so it has to be constantly debrided because it's developing, you know, loose bodies of some sort. But that's not the only issue. You know, he dealt with this thing for much of the season last year. Obviously, it affected his play on the field. Host of injuries over his career, and this is a stage in his career where if you look add up all the games that he's played, he has just got a lot of wear and tear on him, and so he's going to be at high injury risk and likely below average to poor predictive performance no matter what happens. So I don't from a medical standpoint, I just don't know why anybody would choose him.
It's interesting because Hanley Ramirez, not only has he had that long medical history, Doc, but a lot of it is revolving the shoulders, right? Like, it's not just his first shoulder injury. There's been a lot of shoulder problems in his career.
Yeah. No, and he's been able to get through some of them, but now, you know, the age is catching up. I mean, he's 1 year older, and he's just not going to be able to overcome that now, in our estimation, this year.
Yeah, Henry Ramirez, even though he's going to bat third, people should not be in on him, according to Dr. A.
Yeah, the problem, look, he's not costing you anything. The problem I have is, if you take him supremely late, one of those last picks, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But I don't see him getting those at-bats, whatever it's going to be, that vest that $22 million.
Right, and that's and as Matt always likes to say, it always comes back down to the money. And ultimately, that's probably true.
Especially when you're paying J.D. Martinez $25
million. Especially when you're paying J.D. Martinez $25 million. Speaking of J.D. Martinez, he signs with Boston a couple of days ago. And Boston and Arizona immediately goes out, signs Gerard Dyson, trades for Steven Souza. And that kind of leaves Yasmani Tomas as the last, as really the odd man out. He was somebody that I think last year people were very much in on. I drafted him. I wanted to drop him before the end of April. He went through a myriad of injuries, and people were kind of getting back in here early this winter, and now Arizona has gone pretty much and replaced him. Is it all performance related, or is there some underlying injury issues when it comes to Yasmani Tomas?
Well, so first of all, when you hear the word core muscle surgery, you know, they're maybe trying to avoid the term sports hernia surgery. So that's number one, okay? You know, it's very, like I said all the time, sports hernia surgeries and core muscle surgeries, however, whatever you want to call them, they highly recur. They often have complications like he did, which is developed a lot of scar tissue. It's very painful, has to be removed. And that's the key. He had another surgery after the surgery. And so that's going to significantly impact his ability on the field. You know, and he's had multitude of that area of injuries, right groin tendonitis in June, left oblique strain during spring training in 17. So he's one of these guys in that area. Unfortunately, it's highly recurrent. It's going to come up again. He played only 47 games last season. He should have recovered from a medical standpoint. He should be recovered by opening day. However, he is, his injury risk of getting another type of recurrent sports hernia type of injury is very high. You know, the 50% of the season is what we are projecting in terms of what he will be able to play, maximum.
Matt, Doc's saying he's 50% of the season he'll be healthy. And how much of the healthy season is he going to be even on the field?
I rarely do this, but he's never been on my board this year.
Never.
Yeah. I don't see the reason to take Yasmani Tomas. Do we got time for one more?
Yeah, you got time for one more, sure.
A guy off the radar that, is an interesting cat is Matt Stram with the Padres. You know, if pitching in that park, he gets a rotation spot. What's the word on his recovery?
All right, so the good news is that, you know, it's very hard to come back from a grade 4 patellar tendon injury. I mean, knee injury, but patellar tendon. It means he tore the patellar tendon, had to get reconstructed. The good news is that he is he's a left-handed pitcher, so that left knee that he just got repaired is sort of like the starting knee. It's not the plant knee, which is very important because a significant amount of force comes onto that plant knee, and so that's really, really good. He's had plenty of time to recover, and so we expect him to be, you know, sort of at peak health by spring training. And so we don't really see any other issues unless he has any sort of setback that we hear of before the season.
Matt Strom has always been a favorite of the experts in the draft nits. Matt, is this a season that all comes together for Matt Strom?
It's somebody like maybe end of the draft, take a flight. He's a guy that you should, this is what spring training's for. This is a guy you watch in spring training. He gets a rotation spot at Petco. You should definitely be, he's definitely a person of interest.
Corey, we were talking a lot about shoulders and rotator cuffs and whatnot. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your favorite tight end, Alshon Jeffery, who had rotator cuff surgery.
Yeah. It was a success, though.
It was a success.
It was a success. And he should be good to go for the start of training camp.
Rotator cuff surgery, Doc, just in general, it's not, you know, it's not a small surgery, right? I mean, like, for football players, it takes a while to come back.
Yeah, Rachel and Virginia did an article on this yesterday. When you have rotator cuff tears and you play through it, there's a lot of instability in the shoulder. It still will stay intact, but there's a high risk of dislocating, relocating, injuring the labrum. I mean, because that humeral head is moving all over the place in the joint because it's not being fixed. And so the surgery is going to be a lot more significant. And what I hope and what I, you know, that he does not have is the, and I hate to keep saying this, but the Andrew Luck syndrome again, you know, where he plays through injury, it damages the labrum to the point. But the good news is that he's not throwing the football.
Right.
So, you know, he can probably get back and recover from this injury and he should be okay for next season.
So there you go. That's with Alshon Jeffrey. Something you're going to have to.
That's what I just told you.
Well, not really. I mean, like, there's a major chance of a setback here.
I just said before before Dr. A confirmed, I just said that he had surgery, was a success, and he should be ready to go for the start
you
of the season.
You didn't tell me how serious the surgery was, though.
No, I did not. But I figured you knew that.
No, I wasn't positive. Dr. A, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week, my friend.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Awesome. Absolutely. When we come back, another retread in football. What a surprise. Corey Parson will give his take on Marty Herney. Coming up next.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at dkms.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
This is the biggest lock ever. Ever.
Good song.
They're making music by Jimmy Buffett do a Broadway show, I believe, called Mark in Previews. There you go, Margaritaville.
I'm just not a Broadway guy.
See,
I had it one part of my life. I had to go to these things with clients
sure.
and stuff. I hate that.
Bavona, you are a Broadway guy. I like Broadway too. But do you want to, is like Margaritaville something you want to see?
If I get free tickets, I'll see it, but I'm not going to like spend the money for it.
What are you more interested in seeing, Margaritaville or Mean Girls?
Ooh, can I pick something else?
No.
I guess the Margaritaville thing. At least like I could pretend that I'm at a Jimmy Buffett concert, and you know it could be a little bit more fun than the Mean.
My
Girls
answer would
musical.
Be Mean Girls easily.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Mean if I had to go. If I had to choose one of the two, I have a question. Like I had yeah. took my wife to a Broadway play I did not want to go to.
Sure.
And you know I popped the pill a little before and had a little sure. glass of wine.
Yes. Fall asleep.
I think like I fell asleep, but I was there.
Right.
So is that bad job by me or? It's a good job that I got the ticket. I took her there. I mean, did you really need my participation?
You
got to
finish it off by staying
awake. This seems like a Corey question.
You got to finish it off by staying awake for the process. That's why. That's the way I would look at it. I'm not a married man, but I would think that it. How did it go?
My wife did not really enjoy the show that you wanted to go see. So I was like,
"There you go." What show was it?
This is going back a few years. It was Thoroughly Modern Millie. She wanted to see it, so you know, my wife was, you know. Jazz hands, kind of dance theater. That's what she did.
Right.
You know, she thought she was going to be an actress, but I actually made it onto the big screen.
You? That's right.
She did not.
All right, Corey.
What's up, Greg?
Would you be more interested in seeing Margaritaville or Mean Girls?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. Margaritaville is that song?
I know.
Do you know what Mean Girls is?
No, that's the one I have no clue.
Mean Girls, that Lindsay Lohan movie many years ago. Tina Fey wrote it.
I'll go see that then.
Okay. It's a Broadway show.
It's kind of funny how like all those other girls except for Lindsay Lohan all had great careers.
Right. And Lindsay Lohan it's never really worked out for Lindsay Lohan. Someone call her a retread actress, Corey.
All right, let's do it.
What? anyway. Someone call Lindsay Lohan a retread actress, kinda like what the Panthers are doing with their retread general manager, who was their own retread.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Carolina right now. They have no owner. They are just Ron Rivera and that crew that's down there just making decisions all willy-nilly, probably not the best idea. But they bring back the old general manager that had some kind of sexual assault in his background.
Completely cleared of it.
Yeah, completely cleared of it. And then now he gets to go back to Carolina to be the general manager that he was already general manager of that team. it seemed like the Carolina Panthers are going backwards. That's not a team that I would invest in 2018.
I agree. I hate what they're doing. Right? Mm-hmm. You get Marty Herney, who's a GM. You fired over Dave Gettleman. Whatever you think of Gettleman, that's fine. They fire Gettleman. They bring in Herney on an interim basis. Then they promote him. They bring in the Turner boys and the Turner clan, really. Mm-hmm.
The whole crew.
And it's just like, what are you doing?
My observation would be you never go full Riverboat Ron.
Never go, and that's what they're doing. They're going full Riverboat Ron, indeed. He's got all the power there. Marty Herney as general manager, I really don't like it. He was the one that hired Rivera before Gettleman got there. It's clear Ron Rivera clearly holds all the power. I want to know, Corey, do you think that Marty Herney would have drafted Christian McCaffrey? That's the interesting question.
That is interesting. I don't know if that would have been the case. I'm not sure. I couldn't go back and look at that, but I'm not sure. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one also. It'll be interesting, even more interesting, there we go, to see how the Turners use him. We've heard rumors yesterday that Jonathan Stewart could be released, which, you know, theoretically could
probably
open up.
Likely going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on.
More opportunity, of course, for McCaffrey. When
he's
we
got to prove he can run between the tackles.
Yes, he does.
I think they bring another running back regardless.
I think so, too.
It's time to move on from Jones.
When we come back, we got some Olympic coverage to get to. NBA returns tonight. I want to get into the Kyrie stuff with both Matt and Corey. We'll save some RotoCamp stuff. We have that to do. We have a lot going on. A lot more FST coming your way right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Two of FST is live with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. To my right, it's the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it's Wall Street Mount Mozica. Thanks for checking us out here today on the show. We talk about retrades and older guys, especially in the NFL. Corey, have you remiss to say, Frank Gore, free agent. Have we seen the last of Frank Gore?
Probably not. Frank Gore can still play. He's kept his body in good shape. So, obviously, you want to see Frank Gore as the less side of a timeshare, but I do believe that there's still room for Frank Gore in the NFL.
Still,
I don't think that's in Indianapolis, though.
Where do you think it could be?
It's going to be. I'm not sure where it's going to be. I don't have that information.
Could he return to Miami?
That could be something. I can see that.
That could be cool. Yeah. I mean, people that are close to retirement do go to Florida.
Yep. So, or Jacksonville.
You know, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
Just in Florida.
Yeah. So you can go home, stay down there, and chill because he's older, so he wants them warm weather for his bones.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go somewhere cold.
No. God, no.
Of course not. You know what was funny? A guy that I always think is going to have fantasy value, Crockett Gilmore, I had to do it, is now becoming an offensive lineman. He's no longer going to be a tight end.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I thought you'd be interested in that.
Yeah, and look, shout out to Frank Gore for, you know, being able to sustain his career to this point. And he's had a hell of a career. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how good Frank Gore was at one point in the NFL. I just think the Colts really need to move on at this point.
I think so too.
Frank Gore, he'll be on a team if he wants to play. Somebody will have him. I mean, maybe the Colts just keep him there. Maybe he has, like, you know, you play until you don't want to play no more kind of thing. But I think it's time to, you know, move on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Saquon Barkley seems real nice in Indianapolis.
Oh, and a shout out to the young kid. He got me the fantasy baseball projection. So now I am able to see.
There you go.
Something that Scotty Roto locked me out of. Now I'm joking.
Oh,
I'm joking.
Little shot at Scott Roto E.
I only teased.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Scott and Jay, coming up today on Target, we download the podcast. The Daytona 500 champion, Austin Dillon, will join the program.
Nice. Shout out to Austin Dillon. So I'm glad to hear that he's coming on the program to celebrate his victory.
Yeah, which is awesome. Austin Dillon will be on the Fantasy Sports Network later on today. You don't want to miss that interview with Scott, Jake, Tony, and, of course, Austin Dillon, the winner of the Daytona 500. Now, Andrew Luck, Corey, has begun throwing weighted footballs And according to Ian Rappaport, his shoulder's fine. It's the parts around his shoulder that are not fine.
Well, we just heard Dr. A more or less say that, you know, when you had this kind of injury, the other things that take place in your shoulder also give you a problem. So it looks like, you know, it looks like we're starting to finally hear some positive news. He's throwing a weighted football. That's better than not throwing a football at all. Better than throwing a tennis ball. Better
Agreed.
Than throwing a baseball.
It's true.
Better than throwing a dodgeball.
Yes.
So if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
There you go right there. So Dr. A got it right. Andrew Luck seemed like he's getting it together. And I'll be drafting him again in 2018.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. Andrew Luck has a 50-touchdown pass season. It.
Wow. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about the Olympics. The gold medal-winning Olympics. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find compatible bone marrow donors within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to DKMS.org/FNTSY today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them. And that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can actually save somebody's life. Not metaphorically, but quite literally. Check out DKMS.org/FNTSY and see how you can help. The website is DKMS.org/FNTSY. All right. Olympics last night. Corey, the United States women's hockey team are gold medalists once again.
Well, I'm happy because I'm happy that the USA women got the gold, because I was starting to worry about the United States in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you and Craig Carton was in here last night, and, you know,
we're name dropping.
Well, I'm not name dropping. He was in here last night. So we was under the impression that maybe the U.S. should pull out from the Winter Olympics. Like, just don't go next time, because they weren't winning anything. But now with this women's team winning the gold medal, I'm secure. I feel safe with them using my tax dollars to send another U.S. Olympic team.
I got to say, the women really have done a fantastic job. You look at the skiing, too, what they've been able to accomplish. And that cross country that we talked about earlier, that finish was great. The call was great. You know, you never really think cross country is going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely not.
In all fairness,
that was awesome. Yeah. Wish I could find that call. That was really cool. Cross country, another Olympic gold medal. And how about this? The U.S. curling team is going for a gold medal now too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll root for them. I just can't watch curling. I know when it first came on the scene, people were like, "Oh, this is great."
Curlers are not athletes.
I mean, I watch a ton of these sports that I never watch, but I just can't get into curling.
You're not missing nothing, Matt.
I don't know. I think curling can be exciting.
I mean, I'd rather see bowling.
Well, I like bowling. I like bowling,
I like
too.
I like to go bowling.
Why is bowling an Olympic sport?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I would assume everybody. But maybe around the world, people don't bowl.
Really?
I don't know.
Do you people bowl around the world, Corey?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so why is it an Olympic sport?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That is a good question.
I agree. Now, Michaela Schifrin, she won the silver medal yesterday.
Oh, did she win the silver
medal? She won a silver medal.
I wanted to see that.
Yes.
That was in the combine?
That was in the combine. Yep, combined. Yep.
What happened with Lindsey Vonn?
Lindsey Vonn, the leader at the downhill portion, made a mistake early in the slalom and didn't finish in the final race of her Winter Games career.
Yikes. Not a good look for her.
Well, I mean, look, shout out to her. 33 years old.
Yeah. Oldest.
But I just hope, I don't want to hear, like, you know, just she came to the Olympics, she got a medal, 33, you know, came back from a bunch of injuries. Just keep the comments about the haters and all that.
Sure. But you know, listen, she came back, you know what, and she finished, which is cool.
What else happened?
What else happened in the Olympics? Let me give you a quote from Mikaela Shiffrin. It's a nice way to end the Olympics, when she said, after narrowly missing a podium spot in the slalom, where she finished fourth, that was her best event. I started off with a bang and ended with a medal on the podium, and that's pretty cool.
What medal did she get again?
She won the silver in the combined.
And she has a gold, and she had a gold, and she had at least one gold.
So she got gold, so that's cool.
Yeah.
She probably might end up being the most decorated woman as far as medals.
Lindsay, I think
it's Julie Mancuso that has the most.
Mancuso?
Mancuso.
Mm-hmm. Julie Mancuso, yeah. Okay, that's pretty cool. We got tonight, Corey.
What's going on tonight?
We got the freestyle program, right?
Tonight,
free skate.
Sure.
The free skate, yeah. Okay, we got the women's free skate tonight on the ice.
I'm looking forward to that.
The two Russians head to head, the arch rivals.
You got the two ladies. That's what's up.
Yes.
Okay.
The two Russians will go head to head tonight to try to determine which will win gold.
But that's not the United States.
No,
yeah,
United
but still,
States.
It's, you know, it's pretty damn excellent.
Yeah.
You're looking at. And the fact that they're teammates
and
they have
going
like rivalry.
The,
it's not like, you
it's
know.
Like me and Adam Ronis.
Yeah.
Who will be on FSDOT today.
Yeah, so there you go right there. So me and Adam Ronis are like Russian figure skaters.
I like that comp.
I like that comp too. I cannot wait until we see the gif of that later on today.
Me and Adam Ronis is Russian figure skaters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's the 15-year-old and who's the 18-year-old?
I'm the grown one. I'm the adult.
You're the adult in the room.
Yes.
Okay.
What else we got?
All right. So I wanted to take this time now before we move on. We're going to talk after the break. We're going to talk about Kawhi Leonard, some NBA stuff. I really want to get your thoughts on this Kawhi stuff, Corey. Try to get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about that after the break. Now, what I wanted to get into was a little update on a story, if I may here.
Yeah.
So I got home yesterday. And I went to talk to my super.
Good job.
You know, I just wanted to confront it head on. Like, I go, dude, what's going
on? That's what a man does.
Thank you. I go, what's going on? He said, man, I was going to call you. I just spoke to the girl. I spoke to my boss, who was like, tell me what's going on. Why these people just nonstop email me and call me? And I'm like, how many times have they complained? And he goes, it's amazing. I asked them, like, is there music playing? Is there a TV that they need to turn down? Like, what do you hear? No, we hear them talking. And he's just like,
you're supposed to sit in the house like a damn mute.
So what he said, he's responsible. What do you want them to be, mimes?
That's crazy. He wouldn't like living next to me, Jack.
I'm sure not.
No, he would not.
They would hate living.
What do you want them to be, mimes? And he's like, I don't understand.
Yeah, they gotta talk. That's crazy. So what was the rebuttal?
So that's what he said. And they said, he goes, these people had an answer for everything. Evidently, there's like three or four people living in that apartment next to me, which is like a one bedroom apartment. I don't know how they fit four people in there, but
well, everybody got to pay.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
And I told them I talked about it on the show. I brought it up. And
they wanted them to come stay with me.
That's where we've gotten, huh? That's how low we've gotten. I talked about it on the show. And I was telling them the story. And he's just like, it's crazy. Like, the super's like, I live in this building.
Yeah.
And he's like, next to me, you have these girls that are having people over all hours of the night.
Nice.
I told you, gotta invite you over to that.
That'd be a good time.
Yeah. Girls that are partying. He goes, there's little kids that are just banging on the floor.
Yeah.
And they're complaining about you talking.
That's crazy.
People smoking weed in the hallways. They're complaining about you talking.
You got that going on in your building?
Of course. I walk out my door, I smell weed in the hallway.
Is it coming from your apartment?
People have complained about my smoke. And,
there's weed in the hallways. They're complaining about me talking.
That's ridiculous. They're giving you a hard way to go. I don't like the fact that your neighbors are doing this. Do we need to go pay somebody a visit?
Then he goes like, he just wants to know more of the problem, the super. And he goes, the complaint is like, well, it's like midnight and we hear them talking. Wait, it's like, what? Like, you're telling me what's in the bed now?
Yeah, now they're trying to give you a damn curfew. What the hell is going on? These expensive buildings on the Upper West Side.
I'm like, I'm sitting here.
The Upper West Side.
I'm sitting here, and I'm watching the Olympics, and I'm cheering on the Russians, and I'm getting yelled at.
That's crazy.
I would take this to, like, next level.
I'll knock on the door.
I would say, look, you know, we're going to talk. We're going to keep talking.
Yeah.
And the more you complain,
the louder.
You get louder and louder. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. We said there was loud laughing last night in the apartment. The Olympics were turned up, for sure. And so it was like CNN was turned up.
Next time he knocks on your door, you should just be like, have a bat on your shoulder. Yeah, what's up, buddy?
I'm at a door with a pistol.
How can I help you?
Not probably not best time to talk about those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's messed up, Greg. I'm sorry you have to go.
It's all right,
that.
Man. I want to just give you guys the update.
That's cool. Well, let us know how that continues to go, because there's no reason they're talking about you talking. That's crazy.
So I went to the Super Bowl and I told him your story yesterday.
Yeah.
I told him your story.
What'd he say?
He's like, everybody's talking now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's wild.
It's ridiculous. I felt bad. We all felt very bad for you for trying to do a good deed to someone.
Yeah, and then you get that happen to me, you know. It's crazy.
Anything going on in your building, Matt?
No, like I said, I really don't know my neighbors. I've gotten some complaints in the past.
Really?
About, like, smoke.
Okay.
You're allowed to smoke in my building.
So what can they complain about?
And, you know, you can move.
That was the best part. Just to wrap up my story, the tenants complained. They're like, well, the neighbors next to us were always very quiet previously. And my super was like,
well,
yeah.
You're not them people.
That's what I was saying. He's like, okay, well, that... I don't know what you want to do. He's like, tell me what you want me to do about this. He's like, they have a lease. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We can't kick them out for talking. Like, what do you want us to do?
I can just see these. I can't use that word, but I can just see these people over there emailing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like these. It's 11:57, and he's talking again.
Yep.
The two of them are talking and laughing again.
Yep.
I cannot sleep like this. This has to stop. What kind of foolishness
is this?
That's
exactly what's happening.
I would go to bed and leave the TV on in that room all night long.
But the crazy thing is, it's my bedroom's next to their bedroom. My living room's not even connected.
That's crazy.
I don't get it.
Would have the headboard right against the wall. You know what I'm saying?
Same. I agree. I completely agree.
Fight fire with fire.
I will say this.
Let's move on.
My fire alarm went off last night, and I let it go for an extra couple seconds because I was cooking.
Nice job.
I was cooking,
nice job.
And I did not shut it off right away.
Nice job.
Yeah, I was like, you will like this. You will like this. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Kawhi Leonard. What the heck's going on in San Antonio, Corey? We're trying to get to the bottom of this because this is not just a normal injury. There is major friction with the Spurs.
I was very good that last segment, Craig.
We're going to bring it down.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back with you, FST Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Now, well, there's this other thing I needed to read here. Whatever, I'll find it later. Corey, I wanted to get an update from you here.
On.
What was that?
On.
Oh. Okay. on Kawhi Leonard. Because what's really interesting to me is what the hell is going on in there. And that's interesting to everybody, but like, particularly me. So Kawhi had this quad injury. He had it for a long time now.
Yeah.
Really long time. Wasn't ready for the start of the year, and it seemed like they were taking it slow. I mean, we figured the Spurs, they have June aspirations, and they're taking it very, very slow. He comes back, clearly not himself. After 9 games, they rule him out indefinitely.
Yep.
To get healthy.
Yeah. Now, can I interject real quick? Yes. Didn't he have a shoulder injury too, or am I missing?
Shoulder injury was last year in the final, in the playoffs.
But it wasn't bothering him?
Like, not that I know.
Not too long ago?
I don't believe so. So he has a quad injury. And they indefinitely, and he basically comes out against them. He didn't like how they handled the injury. They rushed him back, he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, listen, we medically cleared you to play, man. Like, you're fine. It's kind of a pain tolerance thing.
Yeah.
And there was friction there, and it all kind of dissipated, and whatever. He'll be out indefinitely. Comes out yesterday that Greg Popovich does not expect Kawhi Leonard to return this season from the quad injury. After that report, it leaks out that over the All-Star break, Kawhi Leonard was in New York at the NBA PA headquarters.
Yep.
And he was trying to work on this quad and see how he felt, practicing in the gym with the PA, NBA PA, brought somebody with the Spurs with him.
Somebody from the Spurs was accompanying him on this trip.
Mm-hmm. Watched him go, and he basically said...
All systems go?
No, guy said all systems go.
He is medically cleared by the San Antonio Spurs.
San Antonio Spurs said, you are ready to go, let's get you back. And Kawhi Leonard said, I do not feel comfortable playing.
Yep.
And he basically ruled himself out for the season.
More or less, Kawhi Leonard has taken his personal doctor's advice, saying that he shouldn't be getting out there playing right now. The Spurs are saying it's a pain tolerance thing, more or less that he's cleared and ready to go. Pop came out, you know, he had to Pop's on the campaign trail. You know what I'm saying?
Let's just take a hit with this.
Yes, it very well may. His healthcare reform. So basically what you have a situation right here with Pop. He comes out. He more or less is like, listen, we don't expect to have him this season because he's not coming back now. They got 22, 23 games left?
Something like that.
It's too late. You don't want him to come back too late in the season. So he's more or less going to sit out and likely miss the whole season. The Spurs think he's good to go. He's saying he's not good to go. You have to side with the player. But one thing you have to side with the player because the player knows his body. The problem is Kawhi Leonard is still getting checks. And if he's still getting checks, he should be showing up to do his job.
Well, I'm going to take this. Look, I see what Pop is doing here. He's basically saying we don't expect him back. Mm-hmm. So the team's going to move ahead without him.
Yeah.
But there's still enough time in the year for him to come back, even if it was the last week of the season.
Be ready for the
postseason. For the playoffs. And I think it's getting a little blown out of proportion here. Let the player get fully healthy, at least mentally, where he feels that he is ready to go. I don't see the rush to have him back this week.
I think because they feel as if they might start losing traction in the Western Conference, which can be tough. Because then now you look at a second round matchup without Kawhi going up against Golden State or Houston. You kind of don't want that. You want to be in a better position in the Western Conference playoffs. And then they're paying him. He's getting paid, and he's medically cleared to play. He should be playing.
So, the problem is, though, if he doesn't feel it, if he's not feeling it, and he goes out there, and that's when the guy just tears his quad, you know, whatever. He really, you know, he's done for the it's very tough, but if he's got a personal doctor that's maybe saying something else, I understand there's a team doctor. It's a tough situation.
And then he has free agency coming up in 2019.
Correct.
Obviously, he wants to be in peak health for that because mm-hmm. he wants to be attractive when he hits the free agent market. So it looks like the Spurs are not going. It looks like they're in dire straits of this situation right here because obviously, as the player, you want to protect your body, you want to protect your future and stuff like that. He knows how he feels, but as the organization that's cleared him, we're paying this dude, and he's not doing anything for us. That's a tough spot right there.
So what do you make? I want to take it a step back a little bit.
Did that hurt?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I want to take a step back a few moments. Why is there tension between these two teams? Like, why is Kawhi so angry at the Spurs right now?
I think he don't like being rushed back the first time. I think that has something to do with it. I think there is probably some things that we don't know, but I think he's not happy with being rushed back the first time, and I think they're probably putting pressure on him to come and play, and I think he's telling him he's not ready, and it's probably getting to the point where right now it's something underneath. It's not just this. It's something else also.
Because so if Pop says what he says yesterday, that we're not going to get him back the whole season despite being medically cleared to play, because he thinks Kawhi's never going to be like, all right, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So see, I just think he's playing that game right now to prepare the team. He's saying the right thing to say that, look, if the player's saying he's not ready right now, he's going to move ahead without him, let the team believe that. I think, you know, if in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he feels that he is 100% now or enough to play, he's going to play. And he's going to get put into that lineup. I don't know. If you look at it with the NBA, you want to be at full strength come the playoffs. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to play either Houston or Golden State. So if you have a fully healthy Leonard, or and at least mentally, because a lot of times, too, with injuries, it's getting over that mental hurdle. So, you know.
Let me ask this, Corey. Has Kawhi Leonard played his last game for the San Antonio Spurs?
I don't know if we can go that far yet, but I think that relationship has been strained. It's going to be interesting to see what happens after they get eliminated from the playoff, especially if Kawhi is not does not play the entire season. I don't know what the contract situation is, what the rules would dictate. They would probably have to try to look at trading him at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that very well could be the case because I don't see him re-signing with them.
I agree.
If he doesn't come back this year, he will be on a different team next year. But he's got 1 year left.
So he'll have 1 year left. That's absolutely right. Kawhi Leonard, really one of the best players in the NBA.
He really is.
I don't know how you get fair value for him.
Oh, you're not going to get fair value, but you know, you're going to just have to make
You're going
to
need to get a draft pick.
You need to get a draft pick for sure. Wow, it's crazy what's going on with Kawhi Leonard.
I hope that draft pick is in the lottery.
Also, in regards to the NBA, Corey, we talked about Mark yesterday off the air a little bit. We talked about what was going on with the Dallas Mavericks inside American Airlines Arena down there in Dallas. Now, that was like the second piece of news that broke with the Mavericks. Earlier, Mark Cuban went on Dr. J's podcast. Happy birthday to Dr. J, by the way. Went on Dr. J's podcast and admitted, like, yeah, we're tanking for sure.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it makes sense to tank. Like, we did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. Why wouldn't we? NBA fined him $600,000 for saying that.
Yep, you can't say that. Obviously, you look at the integrity of the game. You're coming down to the last 20-something games of the season, especially in the Western Conference, where teams are scurrying for playoff positioning, and you're out there trying to lose on purpose. That is not a good look. Now, we do know that this is done, but there's no way to prove it, Mark Cuban, unless you say it. This is a situation where Cuban's a little bit too cute for himself.
Yeah, I think it's that and the fact that what we talked also about yesterday is about these gambling bills that are being presented and
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
If you want an integrity, you know, we all know what's going on with baseball, with these teams. And it's evident. If you pay attention to it, it's evident. But you can't come out and say it like
Can't
that.
Come out and
you
say it.
You just can't.
Can't do that.
No, and that's why it was fined legitimately $600,000 for doing it. And
yeah. Is that a lot of money for Mark Cuban, though?
No. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
$600,000, I mean, it's the biggest fine since Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
You know.
Why they fined Donald Sterling, too?
I think they fined him.
They fined him and took the team? I mean, do one or the other.
I think they did. I think that's the case. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe they didn't fine him. I thought they fined him like millions of dollars, but maybe not. All right, hello.
Yeah, that worked out in the end. He was out of there, right?
Yeah. Cuban's not going anywhere, though.
No, you're not going to get rid of Mark Cuban. Oh, he's going to be around.
I still think Cuban, as the owner of that team, shouldn't be getting off scot-free for what was being published. You are the leader regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to take all the good, you got to be responsible for the bad.
Absolutely. And he has, in fairness to him, he said that. He's like, this is right under my nose. I need to know this. Like, we're going to have sensitivity training. I'm going to attend sensitivity training. How do I not know about this? You know, I had the wrong people in charge, but there's no excuse because I'm the man. And now if I'm the man, I need to know this stuff. So in fairness to him, he should have absolutely known what was going on, 1,000%. But supposedly he didn't. Dirk Nowitzki embarrassed by what happened.
Well, it should be. Obviously, a situation comes up like this. You don't want to be a part of an organization when they're doing stuff like this, especially a guy like Dirk, you know what I'm saying, Hall of Fame of his caliber, stature in the NBA and stuff like that. So it is unfortunate. And I agree, Mark Cuban should have done a better job of this situation. This is his organization. He should have known about it.
Yeah, Dirk says, paraphrasing, it's absolutely disgusting. He feels horrible for the victims, of course, and it's just extremely disappointing and heartbreaking. And you know, he kind of read it in SI when everybody else did. Wild, man, just absolutely wild. What's going on with the Dallas Mavericks right now? And tanking is all honestly kind of the least of their worries when it comes to what's going on with the Mavericks. As I said, happy birthday goes out to Dr. J. Julius Erving.
How old is Dr. J?
Dr. J was born 60. In 1950, so he is 68 years old today.
Okay, Dr.
That's
J.
That's how he's older than that.
I also thought he was older than that. Kind of looks old for 68.
Haven't seen a recent picture.
When was Kareem born?
I'm not sure. Lou Alcindor.
Yes.
I think maybe. He was what, in the late 60s? You
so Kareem is 70. Kareem is 70.
Older, yeah.
He's a little bit older. He looks better, to be honest with you. He looks a little better than Dr. J. Julius Erving, officially today, is 68 years old. There you go. All right. We're going to come back on this day in history, outside of Dr. J, of course. We're also going to chat with Matt Modica about the state of Miguel Sano. No bueno. No bueno indeed. We'll talk about all that when we come back. FST on FNTSY.
friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Whenever I hear this, all I can think of is Scott.
Oh, God, yeah. He'd be going crazy right now, doing all them herky-jerky motions. Thinking he cool.
Watch your computer go flying off.
That's all I can think about, is that. The King Scott angle. That was, yes, Bavona, I was shaking like Scott does when you play this song for him. So please. Please. All right. Miguel Sano has a lot of issues, Corey, right now.
Yeah, Miguel Sano showed up spring to training camp looking like a guy that knows that he's not going to be playing a lot of baseball this year, so he kind of just let himself go. Obviously, you know, we got this legal thing that we got to get situated. I think you got a big, big, big time suspension coming for him. So I think that's coming on the way for him. And then when you look at what he's done with his physique, he's not in the best shape of his life right now. You're not going to say that. Matter of fact, he's hefty. He's overweight. So things are not looking good for Miguel Sano right now. I'd move him off my draft board altogether, Miguel Sano. It's not looking like things are going to be good for him this year. I think he's got the karma flowing in the wrong direction. His energy is not where it needs to be right now. You know, listen, if he didn't have this domestic violence thing, this could be a situation where he could play himself into shape. But I don't think that that's going to happen this year.
The double cheeseburger diet is not the way to go.
Okay. You know,
if you're an athlete and you know, well, like Corey said, you're always going to hear these stories about best shape of your life.
Sure.
And I did yoga.
Not in the best shape of his life. Now, yeah. We also know, obviously, had the allegations that Corey was referring to that could get him suspended for quite a while. But he also was coming back with his major shin injury that took him out for the last month of the season. He tried to play through it the last week. It didn't work. Wasn't even on the roster in the game against the Yankees. And I guess as recuperating from this, he kind of just sat down and ate those double cheeseburgers. And now he basically walked into camp fat.
Hey, look, as somebody that loves to eat, if you see my Twitter account, I'm always posting food and stuff like that. But I'm not reporting to spring training. If I was, I would kind of be like Alex Bregman, where he said he used to just eat pizza and cheeseburgers every day. And now, right after the World Series, he hired a chef. And you know, that's the kind of attitude mindset I would be having.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, Thad Levine, friend of the program, Thad Levine, Corey.
Yeah, shout out to Thad.
General manager said he has a generous carriage on him.
That's a nice one right there.
Yeah. So, he also is healthy, which I guess is good. But being fat is probably not going to help things.
No, he's got to get himself into better shape than that. So, I would X Miguel Sano out of 2018.
And those allegations, if they are substantiated, they are pretty devastating.
On this day in sports history, by the way, we missed earlier this week. I think we were off. I think it might have, is that today?
Monday?
I think it was either Sunday or Monday. We were off for it, so we missed it. Corey, we missed Roger Goodell's birthday.
I could care less about Roger Goodell or his birthday.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know we missed it.
He robbed the Dallas Cowboys this year. So that's I cannot wait till he steps on the podium at AT&T Stadium in April to hear the boos that are rightfully meant for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he cares about those boos.
He doesn't care about the boos, but he's going to pay for what he did to the Dallas Cowboys.
Look, he's the figurehead, but he's just the guy there to take the punches. And he gets compensated handsomely. I mean, look, if the owners were unhappy with the job he was doing, he would not have been retained.
Yeah, but what he did to Ezekiel Elliott this year was flat out criminal.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but my point just goes back to, if all the other owners would say, you know what he's doing at Ezekiel Elliott is wrong, If you could do that to my player, we don't want him here anymore. They would have rallied around Jerry and said they rallied around him.
Yeah, no, they rallied around him because they got to get a collective bargaining deal done in 2020, and they think that Roger Goodell is the guy to help them do that the best, to help them get that. I mean, he already robbed the players once, so they're figuring he can go in there and rob the players
again. You're saying Goodell robbed them. Goodell did not rob them. The owners robbed them. You got to go back.
Okay, you're right.
The owners are the ones who are going to say we agree to this or not. Roger Goodell is going to be the face.
No, you're right. He's the face of it. Somebody got to take the hit, and Roger Goodell, after he gets his next contract, after he gets the next CBA done, then the owners will usher him out.
You wonder who Roger Goodell is? He is the press secretary for whoever is president, whether it's Obama, Trump, whoever. He's the person that's going to stand up there and say, this is what we're doing. That's all. He is that. The owners, if you want to really go after anybody, go after the owners, because they're the ones who, when the CBA is going to be said and done, it's not Roger Goodell who's going to say,
no,
this is what we're going
to
do.
It's the owners, you're
right. It's the owners that are going to sit in a room and decide we're willing to, you know, pull back on this and give them that. That's the bottom line. And the face of the owners is going to be Roger Goodell. That's the bottom line.
I just read this. So this isn't exactly sports related in any way, but I thought you'd find it interesting. Do you know who's moderate? There's like Pennsylvania gubernatorial race.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see this, Corey?
No.
I saw that.
So there's a Pennsylvania gubernatorial race coming up. It's the next governor of Pennsylvania. Yeah. So there's a debate. And needed a moderator.
Yeah.
So they've gotten Alex Trebek to nominate.
That's not
well,
bad.
This is where we're going. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
No. I'm fine with it. But it's just all these things, all these political debates. And you know, you're going to see more star-studded. And I'm actually fine with that.
Yeah.
Because I think more the way theater. It's been has been more slanted, in my opinion.
What is that? What does Alex Trebek have to do with politics? It's Canadian.
I'm agreeing with Alex Trebek. I'm saying in the past, it's been more slanted.
So I agree, because you're having moderators from both liberal news networks and conservative news networks moderating.
Yeah, but it's been more liberal. I mean, you really can't.
How could you say that? I don't want to do this. Okay. I don't want to do this. It's not that wrong show for that. All right. Happy birthday. Oh, wait. I missed something. 38 years ago today. You know what happened?
38 years ago
today.
On February 22nd.
Yes, sir.
So that
I
would
know
be,
this.
Is it? It's not we believe in miracles.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Why was that like all over Twitter this morning?
I don't know.
I thought that happened right. Maybe I'm wrong.
I believe it is today in Lake Placid, New York.
I remember that.
Airing on tape delay.
I remember listening to it on the radio.
Really? Very cool. 1980, the Miracle Hockey Game. The U.S. defeats the Soviet Union. 1965, happy birthday goes out to famous Nick Corey Parson, Chris Dudley.
Shout out to Chris Dudley. Yeah, Chris Dudley was the man. On those 90s Knicks teams that I was a fan of.
Did you know in 2000?
Well, he wasn't the man, but remember, you know, he was like on them.
He's a very bad free throw shooter.
Yeah, he was.
Did you know that in 2010, speaking of politics, he ran for to be the governor of Oregon?
How'd he do?
He did not win.
Yeah,
he did not win. He's a Republican, though.
That's what he wins.
He did not win. 1968, 3 years later, I thought you'd find this one interesting, Corey. Happy birthday goes out to Jason Williams of the New Jersey Nets.
Shout out to Jay Williams. Is he still
not Jay.
Jason Williams. He's still in the Slam, or is he?
He's out.
Should be out the Slam by now, obviously. Out, yeah. Had that terrible incident where he accidentally killed his limousine driver.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sad. He had to go to the Slammer for that. But he was a very good New Jersey Net for a long time. He had a little celebrity cachet to him, too.
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. He was on a couple episodes of like sitcoms, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. He had a little celebrity cachet to him.
Yeah, he did.
I'm looking at a picture from like 50 years ago, 40 years ago,
yeah,
of Howard Cosell, O.J. Simpson, and Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I could imagine when they took that picture. They had no idea how this was going to end.
No, it was crazy. Chris Jenner just came out and said that she was taken by Robert Kardashian to go to the Olympics to watch Bruce Jenner. I was like, this is wild.
It's wild. It's wild.
Wild.
She was in the courthouse, too, doing the OJ. I mean, there was rumors that she was that OJ that, was sleeping
yeah,
with her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they say Chloe.
Chloe's OJ's daughter.
That's wild.
I can actually buy into that conspiracy.
You buy into the conspiracy?
I can see it, though. You look at I don't think it's so far-fetched, but
happy birthday goes out to Rajon Rondo today.
One of the most hated men in the NBA.
Happy birthday, Rajon Rondo. And then this day in history, in 1996, Halle Berry and David Justice got divorced.
Yes. Halle Berry, for as beautiful as she is, she could never keep a dude.
Why is that?
Probably a little bit sick in the head.
I still go back to that make me feel good line. One of the best.
David Justice had a nice career, Corey.
David Justice did have a nice career. He got some championships too. Won a championship with the Braves
and
he won the end with the Yankees. Yeah. So shout out to David Justice. I think he's got his life together.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, I hope so. Not. Yeah, agreed. I know there's a volatile relationship between David Justice and Halle Berry, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was volatile.
If I remember that correctly.
Do they have children together?
I don't know. I know she
had a child, but not with him, I don't think. I think it's with somebody else.
So they don't have nothing to worry about. They should be long gone now.
Are you looking it up? All right, well,
I am looking it up. I don't know. No, they're not. They do not have children together.
Okay, so there you go. They do not have children together. David Justice and Halle Berry. That's it. I just realized you're not going to be here tomorrow, huh?
No, I will not.
So this is the end of me and you and FST. This is the end of the week for us.
Yes, and next week you'll be in Florida.
And next week you'll be in Florida. Matt, this is our last day up. For like a week or so. Oh, man. Corey and I will have to pick up the slack tomorrow.
Corey's going to be ready. It's a roto camp.
It is hashtag roto camp tomorrow.
You're going to see him like biting into avocados on air.
I'm very excited for that. Jake Seeley will join the program a little early tomorrow with no Matt Modica in. So also no Matt today on the Roto Extras podcast either, I believe.
No, we have a busy day planned ahead. The wife's actually coming home early from a trip and stuff.
Oh, we're celebrating Valentine's Day today?
No. Something else has to
all right,
be taken care of.
Fair enough.
Before she arrives.
Ooh, a little surprise for the wife.
No, it's nothing to do with her.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Hey, Corey, what's going up next on FST?
Coming up OT. On FST, OT, it's going to be interesting today as we get ready. We'll talk about some of the latest things going on in the world of sports, and we'll be talking with Adam Ronis and Dr. Roto respectively on the program today as they get ready to debut the Scout Fantasy Show right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Who gets top billing? Who gets on first?
Adam Ronis is coming up first.
Adam Ronis coming up first. Scout Fantasy will be on at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 daily, starting, of course, next week. We take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, and we will do it next.
Fantasy Sports Today.
The U.S. isn't winning all that much. This is a little baseball. Man, when they did with curling as well, like, I love beating Canada.
That's the one
thing. I love beating Canada. I really do.
In hockey, I think it's great because they have that rivalry. I mean, otherwise, I'm a fan of the people up north. I've always been.
Well, yeah, of course, but, like, it's still a rivalry.
Yeah, no, in hockey, I do get it. I loved going to Canada, and I'd see on the front page of the sports, hockey was always dominant. I mean, hockey, to me, has always been the funnest sport I've ever played.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We are back here on FST, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And remember, there is no more important marker on the fantasy baseball calendar than draft day. So there's no more important move to make than to get the 2018 RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. Go get the in-depth advice, rankings, and tips from the top ranker in all of fantasy sports. Who joins me right now? It's Jake Seeley. Go inside the numbers with multiple-time FSWA award winner Tim McCullough, the Fantasy Hall of Famer Scott the King Angle, who brings you his award-winning Insider Series from the MLB Beat. And, of course, 2017 Fantasy Baseball Champs, my man BFF Michael Florio and Joe Galina add their insights too. Plus, this year's edition features a brand new cheat sheet generator and a Slack chat channel. So enter code FNTSY at checkout for a discount and make the ultimate move to win it all at RotoExperts.com with the exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. It's a bit wordy, Jake.
Just a little bit.
Did you write that?
No, I did not.
Oh, gosh. Somebody, I need to like rewrite it in like my own words. So I was just like, all right. Blah, 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 blah.
That's why I always do all the reads in my own words.
I normally
I got a bone to pick with you, though.
What I do now?
I texted you, and you guys still didn't talk about the fact that we took home gold and silver in the men's halfpipe ski, and the fact that David Weiss, you want to talk about adversity, like, kudos to Lindsey Vonn, especially, but also kudos to David Weiss. I mean, the dude had three concussions, severe shoulder and back injuries, his wife had postpartum depression, his sister lost her leg in a boating accident, almost died, he had a student that committed suicide. The dude's been through a hell of a 2 years and came and won the gold for the Americans.
I got confused. I saw you you texted me that, and I had no idea what you were talking about, so I couldn't really talk about it. But that's awesome.
Well, so there you go. So there you go. Yeah, we almost swept the half pipe ski. And he's the first person ever to do, and I'll explain it to you real quick. He's the
Please.
First person to do all four double corks. So a cork is like a corkscrew. You're turning over and sideways. So think of it as like a corkscrew.
Right.
A double cork is you do two of them. He's the first person to ever do it all four directions. So he spun to the right and to the left, both frontwards and backwards.
That sounds wild. How come this wasn't a big story then?
It's because it gets overlooked. I think it's going to gain more traction by the next one, too, especially because that's where we've got most of our medals is in the X Games competitions, the half pipes, the big air has started. I think the big air is going to be on tomorrow night for the men's. The women's was last night.
Okay.
And then also the slope style. These are all X Games competitions. They're not the big ones yet. I mean, honestly, I had to dig to find the men's slope style earlier, and you can only watch it via the app at the very beginning of the Olympics.
So oh, wow. Okay.
It's still not quite there yet.
Okay, so there you go. All right, so it's very, very interesting. I know tonight we were talking about it before. You had the women's free skate, which you probably have no interest in, but will definitely be out of my apartment tonight.
The last two things I'm waiting for is, like I said, the men's big air and then the mass start speed skating. That's the one with the 24 people on the ice at the same time. I just want to see hell break loose.
Listen, I love speed skating. I think it's really, really fun to watch. So I'm in on speed skating, too. I'm an Apollo Anton Ono guy, so I like it. I don't like how he goes by Apollo Ono now, and not the Anton Ono anymore, but whatever.
Oh, I didn't even know he did that.
That's what they introduced him on NBC. It's like, oh, it's Apollo Ono. I thought it's Apollo Anton Ono.
Hmm. Whatever. That's weird. So did I. But they just dropped the middle name?
I think so. Yeah. But whatever. Jake, what do you want to talk about on Roto Experts on the podcast today? Do you have any ideas?
We could talk. Well, no, wait. Corey's here today, right?
Corey's here. Matt's not.
Okay, I was thinking the other way around. I was like, well, we could talk baseball today, but no, we have to go the opposite direction.
Yeah, so
I'll think of something to text you.
Perfect. That'd be great. I'm gonna try to think of something fun to encourage Corey to be entertained. That's my goal tonight. And of course, all of you to be entertained
get
as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, FST OT is next. Of course, FST continues on with Corey, Matt, and Jake. They'll be joined by both Adam Ronis and Dr. Roto within the hour. That should be fun. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll see you in a little bit. Roto Experts Podcast, make sure you download it wherever you download your podcast. Have a great day, everybody. See you later.